I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Like the CD player, not the CD, the cassette box in my Camaro.
I was in your Camaro. I was in my house. I was all over the place. And we do remember your name because we know about those foxes on the run. Yeah. We know our names too.
I don't run anymore. I just kind of.
Yeah.
That's why I have a car.
Yep. Mine is Ray Guarino. His is Joe D., my wingman co-host and consortium on this fine mess we call Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show.
Yeah, that's us.
We talk about our stuff, the things we do, the things you do. We try to help you with your problems.
That thing you do.
You can get a hold of us at 516-572-7440. Check us out on the web at motormouthradio.com. We're on Twitter at Motormouth Radio and on Joe's favorite Instagram.
Real_Motormouth Radio.
Exactly. And we urge you to follow us on those platforms and like us because we like you.
Yes.
But really because that's how you can see what we do during the week when we're not here, and we get involved in some pretty nasty stuff, Joe and I.
Ick.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
And that's where you'll find it. You'll find the pictures and some text and some all sorts of cool stuff. So.
A lot of dirty finger comments on that Facebook post I did with that Valiant.
Yeah. Oh, there's always some cool stuff. But we were in guest quandary. We thought we were going to have Mr. Mark Warman on this week, but he's doing a car show in Costa Mesa. It's the Classic Auto Show at the Fairnex Event Center. So he had a bug out. And then I thought we were going to have Mark Trotta, a good friend of ours from down in, he was a Long Island guy down in North Carolina now, but he couldn't do it. So last night I sent the bat signal out to our good friend Pat Seppi at Dial Transmission and said, "Hey Pat, how'd you like to come in and make some mayhem?" And he had another obligation, so he couldn't do it either, which is understandable.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Well, yeah. Let's face it. You know, the excuse bank was very full, so everybody pulled one out of the jar, and it's like, I have to wash my hair. I have jury duty tonight.
Tonight. I love that. So here we are playing with ourselves. We do it every week. It's okay. We know how to get along. I want to tell you. Get your hand out of your pocket. Oh, Jesus, he's got gloves.
I got gloves. We're ready.
Wow.
What the hell? Oh, yeah, that was yesterday.
Very good, Joe. Very good.
Yeah, well, you never know where, you know. Sometimes, you know, they make fun of me because I put gloves on when I, you know, go to stick my hand in an engine compartment because, for one thing, you never know what you're going to get dripped on or whatever. And
understood.
Besides that, there are times that, after that, then I got to go like swipe a screen or something like that, and then you have to get the screen cleaned, and then
yep,
it just gets ugly real quick.
I will tell you this: I had a real nice something happen at the shop this week.
Did you?
I've been working on the shell, but during the week there was a car that came in, and Mike had asked me if I would work on it. It was an 05 Hyundai Sonata.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And of course,
the ball joint over there. Yeah,
you helped me out because I tapped you for some information on torque settings as always, and the car. Let me tell you, if you have I don't know what the range, the year range is for those cars that fall into this. The suspension looked very much like the Honda Accord that I worked on a couple months ago. Had a wishbone coming off the strut and all, and it was...
They all suck the same sake.
Well... Oh, boy. So, but let me tell you, the different sockets, though. Same sake, different sake. If you have one of these cars, and I told Mike this, I said, boy, if we could get these things in, like, every day, we could bang mega bucks out of these things. What an easy front end to work on.
Right.
I had to change the right front axle and the right front lower ball joint.
Right.
The book said 3.7 hours.
Mm.
Did it in about an hour.
Right, well...
I mean... It fell apart. The ball joint has two 17-millimeter bolts that bolt up into the knuckle.
Right.
And, of course, the stud with the nut down into the knuckle, the lower control arm, rather.
Exactly.
How easy is that? I mean, nut, two bolts, whack, bang, bang, zoom. That's it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the factory procedure, like a lot of times, they cover a lot of stuff that, you know, some eventuality that doesn't really happen in real life.
I have a theory about this. Of course, the axle was broke. The inner CV had separated, so we pulled the remnants out. And then, you know... Had to get behind the stub by the stub axle and kind of pry out the back piece of the axle that was in there. That flopped out.
Right.
And then to put it in, I told Mike was helping me out. I said, you know, I said, I'm just going to try and I kind of move the wheel, the hub assembly out of the way. I said, let's just kind of, I'm going to snake it right through that wishbone.
Right.
Straight into the transmission. I said, we just got to go kind of dead nut center. And with a little bit of fiddling, that took maybe 8 minutes.
Right.
To fiddle to get a dead nut center. Right into the tranny.
I was going to look at the procedures, but they probably have you ripping all that other stuff that was potentially in the way out.
When I talked to the other Mike, I said, that's why if mechanics wrote the flat rate manual, we'd all be screwed.
Yes.
Because mechanics know how to do that workaround.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I ain't taking that out. Give me a bar.
Exactly. Well,
or I'm going to the bar. Or when I get back from the bar,
usually,
give me a pride for
it. Usually it's the first one. You get the job done, then you go to the bar to recover from the stress of it all. But
right.
You know, unless of course you want to pre-de-stress yourself. You know, that happens too many times.
But literally, you know, just threw back together the ball joint easy, and then the next day we wanted to change the left ball joint because the boot was bad, so it didn't come in till the next day. And I said, I threw it on a jack. You know, I mean, right. I put it on a lift, but could have done it on the jack. Another just so if you have one of those cars. Don't have any fear about working on the front end. They're very easy to...
Yeah, they're pretty straight up. Easy. You know, and as long as you properly torque everything.
And the parts are not expensive either, really.
Right. Well, that's because there's one on every friggin' street corner.
Exactly.
So, yeah. You know,
exactly.
That has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, some car, the rarer cars get.
Unlike where I had to go to find that the sweet tape in your Camaro console, because that car was not on the street corner. That was hard to find.
Oh, yes. That was under a pile of stuff.
yeah.
By the way, I can't find my key to the UD. Oh, that explains it.
Ah.
Okay. gotta stop leaving that around.
Yeah, right.
That's okay. So, did you notice that when you were there, did you notice the Hummer?
The big, how do you miss something like that? Yeah, what's the backstory?
The big black, some other
thing.
Yeah, but when you drive in and you got to watch because like the ceilings are kind of low, so that thing actually comes real close to the pipes and stuff.
I know. I was talking to a Chinese guy.
Yeah,
or an Asian fellow who said he had a little trouble with that a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah, I heard.
that
was really funny. I did not witness that, but from what I understand, that was a skit. Wow, yeah. Did you get that in?
I bounced it off the arm of the chair.
I was going to say, Ray just, in his typical neatness, you know, actually threw away a paper object, and he actually bounced it off the chair, off the radiator, and into the garbage can. That was pretty darn good.
If you could have been there a few weeks ago at the shop, I was alone.
Mm-hmm.
I was over by the Chevelle, and there was a box.
Yeah, what did you bounce?
No, I had some little nuts, and I said, you know what? I honed it in.
What'd you call me?
I was, you remember? I was a dart player, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of honed it in, and I threw them. Boom! I had three in a row into the box. Like, damn! If only there was somebody here to see that. Like,
that yeah,
nobody
right.
Nobody here.
Stuff like that never happens when there's people around there to witness. You know, but
it's hand eye. Don't take your eye off your head. Your hand follows your eye.
I do that, and I end up getting tears and because I poke myself, but
right. Well, that's
I have to learn that part of the coordination first.
So the Hummer.
So anyway, it comes in with a list, you know. And one of the things was that the exhaust sounded a little screwed up.
Right.
Of course, crawl under this thing. And, you know, hose clamps are not really a viable muffler repair method. And we're talking about the body of the muffler now.
Oh, geez.
So, you know.
Yeah, a whole beer can.
But luckily, yeah, well, even this would have taken at least, like, at least a day worth of cans.
And what, you got you got a shortage of beer cans?
No, we don't have beer cans. We don't have beer cans? No.
What, you buy about a keg now? You just bring the truck?
No, the Schlitz guy comes with the hand truck?
What do you do?
No, the truck parks outside.
Oh, so the hose, that's a hose coming in the window with the tap on it. I got it.
We do have spare aluminum of light gauge just in case we need it. But in this particular case, it was beyond that. And the owner of the vehicle, bought an aftermarket system.
GTO Andy.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's called Maximizer.
Oh.
And
of
basically,
course, for Hummer, what else would it be?
It's this big honking set of pipes going to a big honking muffler. And instead of having one big, huge tailpipe coming out in the stock fashion, now this is going to have two split tips.
Okay.
I did not get to witness the install because I was busy with some other stuff. And basically, getting the other one out of the... first of all, this thing wouldn't go on the lift.
Lift
was like, are you kidding me? No! Okay, Mr. Lift, we'll just let you be. Go have a coffee break now. You know, we'll give you some hydraulic fluid later to make you feel better.
Yeah.
So this thing had to be done on the ground.
Oof. And well, at least it's tall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it still had to get jacked up.
Hmm.
You know, because it you know, with the step bars,
mm-hmm.
of course, that took away about 3 inches of clearance.
Right.
And basically, like, the floor shook trying to knock that thing loose.
Yeah, yeah.
But it eventually hit the ground, and the floor shook again, and now it's all out. And like I said, I wasn't there for the install, probably when I go there later on, it'll be in.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll still be up in the air. I'm trying to diagnose this one came in with the backup camera and the reverse lights coming on whenever they want.
Oh.
So I was like, you know, because the first time I drove behind that truck, I was like, he wants to run?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I have it down. You know, I luckily you don't have to get too far under that truck. There's not as much room as you would think.
Mm.
I mean, you would think there'd be all kinds of room under that thing, but no.
Yeah.
So what happens? You break out the scan tool.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, most modern cars, it's not just PRNDL. This thing actually has a series of ons and offs, like four wires that go on in different combinations. And every once
it's
in a while.
It's logic.
Yes, it's a logic. It's
how
a
logical.
Logic setup. Yep. Yes, yeah, so, you know, I had to get on my best point of ears for that one. And, it turns out that every once in a while it would kind of get a little flaky there.
You've actually become more of a Kirk than a Spock, if I may say so.
Really?
You know, if you think about it, because you actually had a lot of times where you've out-logicked the logic.
Yes, I have to. You have to think how the stupid thing works and stuff like that.
You've made the computer succumb to your way of thinking sometimes. So that's think about that. You know,
it just means I'm crazier than it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it is, because now these cars are actually so smart they're stupid. You know what I mean? They're literal, so you have to figure out. And every once in a while, it would just go into the... It would just decide that it would take... the high, high, low, low became the low, high, low. And whoops! And there we go, because I could actually sit there and shake the shifter and get it to stop.
Uh-huh.
But that's all done by on a switch on the side of the transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So what I got to do is I kind of took a look at it yesterday, and I was looking for loose wires, corrosion, crosstalk, that type of stuff, which there didn't seem to be any. So I have to see about ordering a switch for it, which should be pretty, they're pretty generic. You know, that truck's got a lot of Suburban in it, a lot of Chevy Suburban. So as far as that goes, it shouldn't be that big a deal.
Well, I tell you where you can go for some of that if you want. Go to the ballroom. You can find some stuff out in the closet in the back. We're going to go take our first break here on Motormouth Radio. And let's stop at the ballroom with a little blitz on 90.3 WHPC.
Brought to you by the NYCB Theater at Westbury, who presents Vicki Lawrence and Mama, a two-woman show on Sunday, April 7th at 8 p.m. More information can be found online at thetheateratwestbury.com.
This show is brought to you by the Neenan Healing Arts Center, an acupuncture establishment located in Belmore. The most common ailments presented to an acupuncturist tend to be pain-related conditions. For example, arthritis, back, neck, knee, and shoulder pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, and sciatica. Other health issues that can be treated with acupuncture include emotional and psychological disorders, weight loss, eye, ear, nose, and throat disorders, circulatory disorders, gastrointestinal disorders, addiction, and many other conditions. More information can be found by calling the Neenan Healing Arts Center at 516-442-7408. The Neenan Healing Arts Center is a proud supporter of the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
And if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk every single weekend.
Yeah, we are back. Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. Joe is dancing around in some kind of a Celtic fashion that I've never seen quite before in my life.
Well, you see,
But the arm flailing and the leg kicking is really cool.
They made me check the bagpipes at the door, so. Yes, I do have people in my family who are Irish, so, you know, I have to acknowledge, I am wearing a green shirt.
You are.
That's right, because when I walked in today, it's like, wow, why are you wearing a shirt with a collar and buttons? I'm like, well, it's the only green shirt I had.
Well, so what?
And I'm like, well, I am married to an Irish girl named Pat.
Yeah, that'll do
Trisha. Hi, Pat. I know you're listening. So we have to acknowledge the Celtic part of the whole thing
sure.
today. Said Mila Feltes and Blarney Stone and all that other
stuff. Well, I got a loaf of Irish soda bread because I like it so much.
I never understood that. I don't taste no soda in that.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that.
A lot of butter. It works great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Something about baking soda, I think they use.
Yeah.
Oh, you know why? They use all the yeast for the beer.
Right. And some places, depending where you go, some places make it vastly different than others. So you really got to find your favorite place.
Right.
But you can find a favorite place here at 516-572-7440. Give us a call and we'll talk about your maladies while we convalesce about our own maladies.
Yes.
That we've been, besieged with.
Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff going on there.
Yeah,
because I went, the Hummer was the second part of the day.
Oh.
Right, and the first part of the day was a valiant scamp over at the shop.
Interesting.
That was an intermittent no start. And the thing backfired on the customer once, and the customer, not being a consummate car guy, got a little bit freaked out about it. So, of course, he had it brought in. And, of course, by the time I get it, it's fine.
Right.
I'm sitting there driving over to the shop going, okay, well, first thing, we'll got to check for spark. And we'll see about, like, maybe if it's got primary ignition trigger, blah, 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 blah. Starts every time.
Is it a slant 6?
No, a 318.
A 318.
It's a Valiant Scamp, which is like a Dodge Dart Swinger.
Yeah, yeah.
Two-door coupe.
Okay.
318. Dualies.
Wow.
Car's been done.
Nice.
The customer bought it from a guy who restored it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the money, even down to the emission controls, which can be taken both ways.
Yeah, true.
Especially the lame emission controls that they used to use back in 1974, where they just hung thermal vacuum switches and vacuum hoses on everything.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of that stuff could give you trouble potentially. The only thing I noticed is that that was a tad rich, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe we pulled the plug out. One of the plugs was a little dark.
Mm-hmm.
The car had a choke pull off done fairly recently. So somebody was trying to get in there and do something with it, which basically I'm calling a carburetor. I also stuck my finger in the tailpipe, and they came out all sooty.
Hence the gloves.
Yeah, right.
You're making actually, that motion with the hands.
Exactly.
You're holding up two fingers. That, we all know that. Like, what'd you say, Doc? Right?
Oh, God, that's gross.
I know.
But,
you did it.
Yeah, I know I did it. I know, it's my fault. I definitely did it. So now we got to try to find a carburetor for it.
What's on that carb? What type of carb?
It's a Carter two-barrel.
Oh, a BDL.
BBD.
Oh.
Yeah, right? And it's...
It's one carburetor in my history, and I've had my hands on quite a lot of them.
Right.
That one has never... my own Challenger, I had a two-barrel.
Right.
I must have gone through five different carburetors. Never really got... I finally converted to a four-barrel.
Really?
I just converted to a small little Brock, and the car ran like aces.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I know. This one here, it's so original. I mean, the tag is on the carburetor and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want to just have it sent to the local guy because, you know, he has that big cleaver and, you know, the white coat and the blood on it.
Right, right.
So I would rather send it out or actually get it maybe a replacement carb. You know, a correct one.
Yeah.
Because you can't just go slapping anything on. And you know what? You call up the local parts house, which they're very competent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very authoritative. And the guy on the other end of the phone would be like, what?
Yeah.
So basically, you ain't going, as you like to joke, you ain't going to 7-Eleven and picking one of these things up. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well.
We have to. That's going to be one of my research hunts for this afternoon.
If you want to play it with, it was funny because I was. I'm going to foreshadow a story I'm going to talk about later. I was working on the Chevelle, and my garb of choice yesterday was an apron, a long apron that I wore.
And why were you doing that? Were you barbecuing?
Well, and it wasn't the denim apron that I have hanging in my garage. It was a rubber apron. And
oh God. Should I duck now, or should I just start blushing?
And the thing was, when Mike came in later on, I said to him, I said, oh, you probably think I'm dressed a little funny. I said, I know, I could be like the butcher of Baghdad here in a minute if I got a couple of cleavers and knives. But no, I was adjusting hydraulic lifters, which I was, you know, I was thinking of the oil splash. Because the day before, I had gotten nice oil splashes on my pants, so I wore the rubber apron.
Yes. Good idea, actually, because let's face it, you know, that stuff kind of just sticks with you for the rest of, you know, for the rest of... not your life, but you know, that particular set of clothes will contain that aroma.
That's correct.
For quite some time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, which is really funny because you walk in the house really quiet and your wife goes,
You're home?
Where you been?
I know. That's very true.
Jim wants to know if you're Breaking Bad.
Nope.
No, okay.
It was all very good.
Yeah, no, we just dissect cars and
that
stuff.
Valiant, what color is it? Is it green?
No, it's not one of them green ones. It's not one of them forest. It's like a light beige, like a cream color with a dark.
Because I thought I saw one in one of my trips to White Side. I thought I saw one around. It was really clean and on the money, and I'm just wondering if that was it.
That was probably it, because he does drive it around. He does use it quite a bit.
Hey, speaking of Whitestone, you know, we are going to be doing a live remote from the Town of Oyster Bay Car Show.
Just when I thought he was in, he's pulling him back.
On Sunday, April 28th. But Billy G got in touch with me the other night, and he asked us if we would do a remote from the Whitestone Show again next year on September 8th. And I said, well, we'll run it by the
powers that be.
And make sure that the equipment is right. And if so, we'll be doing that.
Yeah, hopefully this time we won't be like, you know, sheltered in a garage.
Right, in the rain.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of screwed up. But it was still amazing how many nice cars actually showed up.
Yeah.
And there was stuff going on and everything. You know, it's the Malba Car Show. It's like the thing for that part of Northern Queens for the year. It's the event.
Well, we'll talk about it later. Billy did tell me he is changing the format. Things are going to shift around a little bit, so he has less to do.
Right.
He is essentially retired from it. But
God
it,
bless him. He runs around like a chicken without his head.
See, that's what he's going to eliminate, a lot of that.
Good.
For him. So it's good. It's going to go back to a lot more kids things, kids events.
Right.
Which is how it started when it was the hot dog thing.
As opposed to childish things that us car guys do.
Exactly.
So, I think it would be great, you know? And as long as he always... he is always the consummate, cool, calm professional.
Yeah.
Always got a smile for you and all that. But, you know, in the back of his head, there's like 19 things going on.
Right.
And that's conservative, you know?
You know, jumping back to the Valiant, I remember I had worked with a guy here at the job who had, his son bought a Valiant, slant six.
Right.
And it had a BDL on it. And what he used a place and bought a brand new one. And the guy actually flow tested them. I might have the information on my computer at work. And out of the box, they'd put it on, and the car just ran. It was about a year. It was exactly what happened when I put the four-barrel on my car. My car ran so well, it was about a year before I realized, hey, you know what? I should try to adjust the carburetor. And it didn't need an adjustment. Same thing he had with that BDL. He just ran beautifully.
Yeah.
So
a properly done carburetor by the right competent individual is a thing of beauty.
And all it is you got to have good components to work with. And then you have to just follow the adjustment procedure.
Right.
Systematically. That's what it is.
Reading is fundamental.
Yeah.
Yep. And and some carburetors are less prone to mayhem than others, like Hollies.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a Holly, right. You just walk past and say, dirt! And next thing you know, it becomes a friggin' fountain, you know?
When I ran Hollies on my car, as the weather changed, I have to go out and readjust that carburetor.
Exactly,
very
yeah.
weather sensitive.
As a matter of fact, one of the cars at the UD, we're gonna try maybe an Edelbrock.
Yeah.
You know, because the Holly just... I think it's too big for the car. That's that Nova.
Kenny Hammer just told me about a carburetor. They got that 69 Camaro going, that Restomod.
That thing with the injection or whatever?
And what he did is they went to a carburetor.
Ah.
And he said he had fuel pressure, but he didn't have flow. And he thinks it's because the ethanol, as the car sat, he took the replacement screen out of the replaceable filter and found some schming in there.
Ooh.
And he says, I think that's the thing. The car sat, and it's very... You know, very specific with its pressure and volume.
You mean varnish?
It could be like varnish. We're going to hear more about varnish in a little while.
Varnish is very good for your boat and for some of your furniture and stuff like that. It has no place in the fuel system.
You can reseason the garage with it. Yeah, if you're lucky. But Kenny went to this new carburetor, and I saw the ad in Hot Rod and Car Craft. A brawler. It's called a brawler.
A brawler?
And I don't remember who the guy is that made it, but it's beautiful. It's nice black finish. They put a 750, I think, on that car, and he sent me a video with the car running. It sounded great. They took it out yesterday, and the car was like hell on wheels. Nice 427 small block in that car.
Sweet.
Where's that? That may be a big block. No, I think that is a big block car. Oh, yeah. Off the chain. Beautiful. So now you don't have to really worry because carburetor is a lot more compliant with the fuel than fuel injection is in many instances.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the actual OEM factory stuff is more versatile and compliant these days.
Yeah.
But the aftermarket stuff, well, I mean... And no dig against the aftermarket, by the way. It's more like, you know, they do take cars and they test them under all kinds of stupid conditions. You know, they got that big freezer thing. They they put them out in the desert and they just subject them to all kinds of torture.
Right.
Like I remember, like one time, I always was wondering that certain cars just like the wheel wells, like the tire didn't fill the wheel well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's one reason why everybody went out and bought, like, you know, a set of nice big fat meats for the car.
L60s.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what it is? Is that the car companies had to take into account that people in certain climates would need snow chains.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they wanted it to be able to clear snow chains. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'm going to take my 69 Z28 out in the friggin' snow. Come on. But, you know, that's the way the corporate thinking goes. And, you know, at least they were thinking.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're banging up to our next break, and we're not going to be going to the snow chain, so we can go to Blockbuster on this next round.
Blockbuster.
And there's one left in Oregon, and we'll see what our boys from Sweet have to say about that. And then we'll be back. We'll talk maybe a little bit about varnish, and we'll see where we go. More when we come back. Motor Mouth Radio 90.3 WHPC.
You better beware.
watch out if you got long black hair. You come from behind, you go out of your mind. This show is brought to you by the Paramount in Huntington, who welcomes Ace Frehley, original lead guitarist of Kiss, on Tuesday, July 2nd. More information is available online at ParamountNY.com. Ah, springtime. The birds are flying back from Florida. The Easter Bunny is getting ready to do whatever he does before Easter. And Nassau Community College is ready for the Spring Blood Drive. NCC and Long Island Blood Services will be sponsoring the Spring Blood Drive, a celebration of life event, on Thursday, March 21st. This event will take place from 9 to 5 in the multi-purpose room of the College Center building. Donors must be 17 years old and in good health. More information is available online at ncc.edu.
This show is brought to you by the NYCB Theater at Westbury, who presents Dick Fox's Doo-Wop Extravaganza, starring Jimmy Beaumont Skyliners, Gary U.S. Bonds, Danny and the Juniors, featuring Joe Terry, The Times, The Elegants, and Bobby Wilson, with a tribute to his father, Jackie Wilson. It's happening Sunday, March 31st at 6 p.m. More information can be found online at thetheateratwestbury.com.
All right, we've blockbusted. We've learned about blood. We've learned about, a lot of blood in the shop. That happens sometimes, right?
Yeah. Let's face it. Sometimes you come out of there cord short,
right?
Easily.
But we are back on Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, replace that fluid.
Ray Guarino, Joe D, 516-572-7440, and give us a buzz. Tell us about your new acquisition and your if you bought a new project car that you're going to try and get ready for the spring. You got to do it quick because spring is Wednesday.
Spring is sprunging.
Yeah. This is great.
I know. I was thinking about it because that means I have to shave my beard off.
Right.
The first day of spring, I shave the beard. I don't know whether it's going to go back or not, but, you know, it's got to go. We have to have the winter hair, taken off for the summer hair.
Okay.
Or spring hair or whatever you call it.
If that's the dictum. Well, I know what that means. The line is crawling there, so let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
The new flashy.
Hey, it's Al Handy. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Al.
What's going on?
Not much. I was working on my daughter's Patriot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had emailed you guys back a while about...
That's the one that you could fry eggs on the steering wheel or something?
Right, exactly, yeah. Yep. The cruise control switch was heating up on her as she drove it.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring it into Jeep, let them do the diagnostics, and of course they can't find anything.
Right.
So the only thing they suggest to do is to replace the switch. All right, so okay. I buy the switch. It wasn't too bad. I start taking the steering wheel apart. I find nothing wrong with the wiring.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I disconnected the battery. You know, old school, disconnect the battery.
Mm-hmm.
So the airbag doesn't go off. A buddy of mine, who's a master mechanic, goes, what, are you crazy? The airbag will go off anyway. And I just wanted to discuss that with you guys. How, you know, it makes perfect sense. If the car's in an accident and the battery gets damaged, the airbag will go off anyway. Now, how does that happen, or how can you not have the airbag go off on you by mistake while you're tearing into the steering wheel?
Good question.
Well, actually, the airbag, most of the airbag modules, and the reason why I know this is like the original GMs used to call it the reserve and diagnostic module, or diagnostic energy reserve module, or DERM, which it carries a battery inside of it that lasts. I can't remember off the top of my head the exact amount of time, but it's a couple 3 minutes. If battery power were to be interrupted to the airbag computer,
okay.
All right, and it's got to power down. Which any procedure that you look at, there's a lot of stuff in a car that they tell you to disable the airbag system before you do it, which 98% of the people don't do that work on them just don't do anything idiotic. But usually it consists of pulling a couple of fuses, stuff like that. Disconnecting the battery is pretty far down that list because that just changes that just wipes out the memory out of a whole bunch of stuff that you may wiped out, you know? They can potentially stay away for most car companies tell you at least 2 to 5 minutes.
Okay, so you would disconnect the battery then let the thing drain down?
Yeah, actually, what usually it's pulling a certain combination of fuses.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So as far as that goes, you know, you don't have to disconnect the battery.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of battery disconnects unless you're intentionally trying to do something.
Mac O'Brien is saying it could be 20 minutes on some vehicles.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
I mean, yeah, that's just a rule of thumb.
Yeesh,
that, yeah.
Get lunch.
Yeah, seriously. You know, so, but yeah, he's right that, you know, if you just like get in the car and like pop the battery and start like, you know, wailing on some component that could trigger the airbag, yeah, yeah, it could still potentially go off. That you're absolutely right there. But
yeah, because funny, I changed the clock spring in the my TJ.
Uh huh.
Because that's a whole nother mystery thing. Your directionals don't work. There's a constant beeping, like the keys in the ignition.
Right.
Yeah, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff on the clock.
Because everything goes through the clock spring. Yeah.
Right.
Pretty typical Chrysler. Yeah.
And the airbag in the TJ was just two simple wires, and they disconnected really quick. Mm-hmm. Now in the Patriot, oh my God, it was like Fort Knox trying to get the wires off the airbag.
It's all what they decide they want to do. Well, the airbag on that might have had some steering wheel controls in it as well.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. No.
Three wires.
You just got to deal with it as it comes. Every car is a little different. You know what I mean?
And when you had it in, you got to do brakes and other stuff too, Al. So was all good, right?
Change, rotated the tires, changed the differential fluid.
Right.
Oh yeah, got the complete service, complete dad service.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do. That's our job. That's what we're there for. You know, I had my wife's car in the shop last week. I put four tires on it, and did a tranny service, and then washed it. Took it outside and washed it because Mike had the button. It was kind of nice. She didn't even, you know, like, who notices that, right? Like, it's a white car. I'm like, hey, yeah, your car. It was like 3 days later. I said, boy, your car looks pretty good. Oh, really? Does it? I'm like, yeah. You didn't notice? Like, why? Like, because I washed it the other day. Like, oh, you did? That was nice. Yeah. Like, you're welcome.
Right. Well, you know what I got is I pulled the car out of the garage. I flipped the new cruise control switch on. My light on the dash went on. Looked like it's okay. So I parked the car. So I come back in the house a couple hours later. Did you drive the car? I said, no, not yet. I says, I just drove it out of the garage and I parked it. Seems everything's fine. Well, if you didn't drive it, I'm not driving.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
If you didn't test drive it, Mom, could I borrow your car?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, gee, thanks.
Al, you know, that's it. Tim Allen said it best. We're here for lawn care and vehicle maintenance, let's face it. You know,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's our
home
job.
Improvement and vehicle maintenance.
Exactly.
Right?
That's our jobs.
Yeah, they don't need us for much else these days, you know.
Yeah right. Too funny.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, Al, thanks for the call. We appreciate
that. All right, take it easy.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
That was our good buddy old Jeep and Al, who we see on the Plane and Traffic show recently on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
So he's...
Can't tell who plays without a scorecard. Moving targets, harder to hit.
Yeah, true.
More flashing.
Let's go back to the phones. We'll go back to the phone and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, how you doing? Good show. My name's Martin. I got a quick question about my 2009 Honda Civic.
Okay.
All right, Martin, where are you from, Martin?
Bethpage.
Okay, what's up?
I start the car. It's a good car, you know, good gas mileage, no problems or anything, no leaks. I start the car, and I get a little blowback, like exhaust smell in the car.
Exhaust smell?
It goes away after a minute or two, but I was just wondering if you have any ideas what I could look for.
Wow, and have the exhaust system checked.
Well, yeah, the first thing is you really shouldn't have any kind of exhaust smells. I mean, if you were standing outside the car... Do you smell that same smell?
I didn't really notice. I'll try it next
time. Okay, yeah,
when I'm in the cabin and it's cold, I got the doors closed, I start it up, and you know, you get that little blowback smell in the car.
Yeah, you shouldn't, because the cars are very well sealed off.
And basically that smell shouldn't be there no matter what, because you know that's. I mean,
brought it in for emissions for inspection, would they be able to tell? At that point?
No, because 2009 OBD2, everything's done through the diagnostic port. If the car is satisfied with itself,
well,
they don't know nothing.
Technically, though, if you bring it in for a New York State inspection, the car should be put on a lift, and they should look at things like the exhaust system.
Well, yeah.
So if it's for an inspection,
That was an Accord, by the way? Four-cylinder V6?
Oh, it's a Honda Civic Coupe.
Okay.
Two-door.
Okay. Yeah, because Ray is absolutely right. While the car is up on the lift, while they're checking brakes, suspension, so forth, the quote-unquote undercar part of the inspection, they might be able to see something like that.
Okay.
Because,
can I ask you one more thing?
By all means.
On the dashboard, I got you push a button and you get oil life, 80, 90%.
Right.
How accurate is that?
Pretty. Well, okay. It's not erring on the side of caution. It's what most car companies do is they look at mileage, running time, cold starts, so on and so forth, and they have that calculated.
Okay.
If you want, let's put it this way. A lot of times I prefer to let them run down to about maybe 50% or go by 3,000 miles or 5,000 miles, whatever it is that you use, whatever type
right.
of oil you're using.
Okay, that's what I was doing, but I don't put a lot of miles on the car, so I thought maybe I could go a little longer by if
Martin,
I see the thing still at 50-60%.
Well, that's the question I had about my wife's car. Same thing. She doesn't drive a lot. It's all local, and I just kind of watch it. She doesn't do a lot of mileage, so I kind of split the difference, and I've been doing it down at around 30% and haven't seen any detriments.
Right. Actually, it's actually time, too.
Yeah.
Like, I know GM, which is what I'm most familiar with, they were like, okay, if you go a year and your change oil, you know, your oil life hasn't gone down far enough, change the oil anyway.
Right.
See, I'm more like, you know, cars got to go up in the air at least twice a year just to have stuff checked out.
Absolutely.
By the way, real quick, does this thing maybe have, does it smell like maybe like an oil leak instead of an exhaust smell?
Don't think so. I looked under the hood. I don't see anything leaking or anything. I don't have anything under the car. So,
well, there was a technical service bulletin back in the day about these things having time and chain cover oil leaks.
Yeah,
right.
The seal. Was
oh,
the
really?
Seal?
Yeah, there
okay.
was. I'm just kind of scanning through the titles real quick for TSBs, and depending on how much you've had your nostrils assaulted by car smells, some people, you know, people all I know at the shop all the time mistake one smell for another. You know what I mean? So, just in case you're not a practiced smeller,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You may want, that might be something to take a look at. It might be like an oil leak or something, you know?
Okay.
All right,
guys.
All right,
thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks
Have
for the call.
Day. Thanks.
Have a good
right.
day. Bye.
So
Bye.
Long. All right. Well, let's...
More flashing.
Let's try this. Let's go back to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
I am standing in a garage that is permeated by varnish.
Oh. It's the Swizz!
Hey, Swizzle. What's going on, Chris?
I mean,
How
what's
are
the matter?
My brothers?
What'd
nice.
You run out of English leather?
No, Paco Rabanne.
Oh, I forgot Brooklyn Paco Rabanne. Yeah.
Oh, come on. You're taking me back. You're taking me back, Paco Rabanne.
I'm going to get my
Kiana shirt on and my polyester slacks.
Sergio Tacchini's.
Are you?
Yeah.
The shoes.
Woo.
You're just having a flashback. Step outside, take a breath. The fresh air. you'll be better
yeah,
about 10 minutes.
Clear the varnish.
So, why do you have varnish?
I am standing next to something that is confirming the fact that I have lost my mind.
Really?
I'm standing next to a 1969 Chrysler 300 convertible that has not run in lieu of 30 years.
Nice.
Wow.
Oh,
so it's a lawn ornament.
Nice.
It's our kind of car.
You're not going to be
crawling
under
your house.
This 2-ton bus of a vehicle.
Nice. Really?
Yeah, I completely lost my mind and bought it.
Right.
It came out of Long Island. It's a Long Island car, but since it's been sitting in a garage for 30 years, everything seems to be fairly straight, but the fact that it has not run is scaring me. So
yeah.
I will be,
and so
I will
you
be
should
making
be.
My phone calls.
So you should
what
be. So you should be scared.
Yes, and rightly so, right?
Right.
All the chrome is pitted, but at least the panels are straight. But yeah, I picked it up out of off of Craigslist, and we're going to embark on an adventure, I should say, that because since the TR6 is now sold. We have a much larger car in the garage.
Oh, come on, be honest, Lord Bentley just stole it on you finally.
Yes, Lord Bentley went with the Triumph, so now we have to find a new group of spiders, because not just one could live under here. We can get like a whole colony of spiders under this car.
Yeah, right?
But yeah, it's going to be an ordeal. That's for sure. So we're going to go through the. I'm calling for advice. I need advice here. I need
now
to find
you
out.
Call.
Okay, I'm going to give you our advice, and this is advice that comes from your teachings, Father Radio, because it is three quarters to the hour, so it's time for us to take a break, because I learned to do that from somebody who does it every 15 minutes!
Yes.
And I don't know why! But
take a break.
So you're going to hold on, because
we're not done with you.
I have the perfect song that's going to help clear your mind and your lungs of that varnish haze. And so you'll see how the music melds with this show when you see the song selection that I pre-selected. It wasn't done on the fly. And so hang on, because we have to let Steve K do a promo for us, because we like to cross-promote his show all the time. So we'll do that. You stay there, and we'll be back on 90.3.
Did you go to Taco Bell?
No, that was... I hope that was a motorcycle going by.
Was a motorcycle.
Right. Oh, thank God.
On 90.3 WHPC. This one's for you, Chris.
Just use all the oxygen I can get. It's sweet! Love is like oxygen, 1976 gold. 90.3 WHBC, the sound of Garden City and Motor Mouth Radio.
Love is like oxygen.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motor Mouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motor Mouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles, and these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
All right, we're getting high on WHPC 90.3, whatever we are on Motor Mouth Radio, with our special guest on the phone, Chris Switzer.
Yes.
Hey.
Our radio progenitor.
Everybody was so so up on the way.
He takes the blame for all of this.
I mean, we could see, because we had the mic, we had the phone on here, so we could hear you. You couldn't hear us because we obviously couldn't have our mics live. But yeah, we almost we want to make you talk up that song again because you did.
Yeah, that was amazing. Could you give us that just real quick, like that last song? Could you kind of talk that up real quick?
I need the song playing.
All right, well, hang on. Let's see if we can get it in the background here. Let's see if we
can. I think I could do that, but without a song playing under me? Well, are you kidding?
All right, well, how's that? How's the song playing under you? Can you hear it?
Ah, the lovely golden sounds. Strumming slightly, nicely.
Yeah, it's like car wash.
Love is like oxygen. Unlike getting asphyxiated right here in the garage. Listening to the sounds of sweet on Motor Mouth Radio. 90.3 WHPC. WABC, the sounds of Garden City and Motormouth Radio.
Oh my God, that
there
was freaking awesome.
That
you ought to be on the radio, Chris.
I never touched the stuff.
That reminds me of the first time Chris and I filled in for Rob. We did Rob's show. And,
right.
And, you know, I bring in all this music, and, of course, you know, Chris is thinking, okay, we're going to do all these talk-ups, and I never did a talk-up in my life. And he says, come on, try it. So I chose one of my favorite songs, Car Wash by Rose Royce.
Yeah.
The freaking song has a 3-minute dead intro to it. I'm like,
ah! I shut back.
I've heard pros have trouble with that one.
You know, they do.
Like, you're going to say, all right, now on page 2 of this story, I'm going to tell you about something. So let's go.
Right, they read the sports and the weather and the wind speeds, and they read everything on a song like a 3-minute intro.
But speaking of speeds, let's get back to your Chrysler now, because this is great that now you're involved with the project, because all the grief you've given me about projects over the years, now you're in one, and it's fantastic.
Yes. Well, thank you. I mean, we always made fun of you because of the fact that the GTO, your GTO, sat in a garage for I think how many years before we even laid eyes on it. And you used to talk about it on the show all the time. And then for a while, I was like, this car doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah.
Your GTO didn't exist.
Yeah,
so
I remember
we used
that.
To make fun of it. Even Paul made fun of it. He was like, it's a figment of your imagination.
Right, right.
So I had to send you a picture of this heap.
Yeah. No, so you know what? I'm sure you took some when it was coming off the truck. Send me some other ones, side shots, front shots. And
you know what? I didn't, because it was at night.
Oh.
We got the car back late at night, so I couldn't really take a good picture of it. I thought about it.
Under
but all I wanted to do
darkness.
Was just get the dopey thing in the garage, and that was even an ordeal. It took two guys to push it, myself being one of them, like getting it over like this little tiny rise that goes into the garage was just... Between the both of us, and this guy I was working with was, you know, pretty stout. He's a stout dude. He looked like he pushed a couple of cars in his day. So, but we were both grunting getting this thing in here.
Now I was going to say what we have trying to initiate on Instagram is a hashtag MMR cars, where people will, you know, put up a picture of their car and hashtag it with that, so we kind of get a little buzz going. So yeah, we'll. We can throw it on air for you, and
okay.
You can join the MMR cars section. So
if I can stagger out of this garage and try and clear my head of the asphyxiation that's happening to me. It's not like a furniture store in here, all the varnish.
Well, yeah, obviously, like we've always told people, you got to get that tank down and see what's in there. But you know, the good thing is you have a full Chrysler powertrain under that car, which is great. That's going to save you a ton of money and problems.
So, speaking of a ton of money and problems, what do you think, gentlemen, is the first thing I should do with a car that has not... I mean, the only thing I've done to it was I hooked up the jumper box you gave me, right?
Okay.
I hooked it up to the battery on this thing, and I just got the engine to turn when I hit the key. Just, boop, that was it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure the engine wasn't seized. So that's as far as I know.
Always a good step.
I would get the car up on 4 jack stands. And then
if you want to
see how the motor spins, pull the plugs, squirt some oil in the holes.
Right.
You know, you can let that sit overnight, maybe it'll get past the stuck rings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then and then crank it. Let it spin without the plugs.
Yep.
But now what should I do about the I'm going to probably dump the oil out of this thing.
Drain all
first.
The fluids.
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah. That stuff's all deserving to go to the Smithsonian is some type. No, I'm sorry. The Museum of Natural History.
Right.
It's going to turn back into a dinosaur
pee you got there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's obviously like we've always said, you have to address, for runability, it's fluids, and the biggest one is the fuel.
Right.
Right.
You know, and then for drivability, it's obviously brakes.
Right. Right. But I'm not going to make sure it stops until I make sure it goes.
Right. So address the fuel system.
You can always put a tail hook on the outside.
Well, address the fuel system. I'd say, you know, I think it's kind of a given you have to drop that tank.
Yeah.
You know, and then you could blow you could blow out the fuel line with some compressed air. I did that a few times.
Okay.
You know, and then on the engine side, it's the carburetor, which is probably... To think that the carburetor is going to work would be a fairy tale, I think. No, really, because everything just dries out. You know, it's just...
Right.
You know, but that's all rebuildable and fixable.
And
the fuel pump as well is probably going to be El Morta, so that's going to be you know, just get some holy water, throw it on the engine, you know, and then start unbolting stuff.
Yeah. Basically,
oh boy.
Yeah. I mean,
I know I called the right show.
You got that right. Well, I mean, we've had our,
got
I've had my experience
marks.
At the UD. Yeah. On the left one.
Yeah.
At the UD, we've had a number of cars that have been sitting around for quite a while, and we've had to unstick them. Our favorite stuff is a combination of, is primarily diesel fuel and a
yes.
little bit of motor oil.
Yeah,
pour
yeah.
it down the plugs, and then you rock it.
Right.
And then you walk away, and then you rock it.
What? Well, oh, really? Stuck. Diesel fuel?
A little bit of diesel yeah. fuel, a little bit of oil.
But it may not be stuck. You may be able to just...
well, if it cranks over, God
yeah,
bless you, go for it.
Just squirt some engine oil down there, or Marvel Mystery.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
okay.
You know, that'll just lubricate the cylinders. Because the pistons that were down below top dead center, the volume of space above that now probably surface rusted over the years, even with the plugs in. So
I wouldn't be surprised.
But since the car is an exhaust system and it wasn't open, it's not going to be bad. And the car wasn't underwater, so I'm confident you can start. Listen, Mike has given me some of the cars... Some of the cars that he's brought in that I had to get going, like his Mustang, his red Mustang, they did. They fired up and ran pretty nice because they were all together. So
right, yeah,
right.
That's always a big help. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Should I do like pull the distributor out, maybe pump the oil pump?
Well, no, because then you're not gonna know what your timing is.
Right. You just like kicking the sleeping dog, don't you?
Yeah.
Easy. One thing at a time.
Less is more. Less is more.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. At least I'll pull the valve covers off and I'll pour some motor oil, I guess, on the valve train.
You don't have to really.
I think at this point, well, that thing doesn't have an oil pressure gauge, does it? No. Not anything.
That's
that
it. Let me look. Wait a minute.
That's why.
On
like
the other hand,
up,
I don't know if I would trust it. I was
going to
say.
To look up a mechanical gauge. All
yes.
The time.
Well, that stop.
Yeah, no.
You're doing it again. Do you own a mechanical gauge that you could screw on there?
I gotta go rummage through my junk, but I may.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, you could go down to the parts store and probably buy like a SunTune gauge kit.
Yeah, well,
for under $20.
Because basically, if the engine turns and you got some fresh fluid, you know, fresh oil in there, disable spark, disable fuel. All right. And just crank it over for a good 15 seconds, right?
Yeah, 15, 20 seconds. Yeah,
just make sure the gauge comes up.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it does.
Got it.
You know what I mean? If on the other hand, it actually turns red and goes ping! That means probably the relief valve stuck. In which case, I would, you know, as they always say on those shows on Velocity,
Joe,
wear eye protection. I'm sorry,
Joe, what is the noise make again?
Ping!
You know,
I love when he does that.
Right. This car, though, this car was owned by a gentleman and it was taken care of and stored. So I think this car was just stopped and it just laid dormant. Where it's at. So I think this is going to be an easy revive. I think the biggest problem you're going to have is, the biggest pain in the neck you're going to have is dealing with the fuel system. And
I
really,
think you're right.
And really in terms of getting that tank out. I mean, I would probably cut the bolts on the straps and just, you know.
Yeah. You never know. Maybe just crawl under there and start squirting them now with your favorite penetrant.
Bah.
That is probably what I'm going to do, is I'm going to soak this thing in penetrating oil and see what falls out. But let me I will tell you this. This is going to be the mystery here. The car had the hood open.
Right.
For over 20 years.
That was probably to keep animals from nesting in a dark, cool place.
You know, you are such an optimist, Ray, because I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of funny, because as we were pulling the car into the garage here, I was talking to the tow truck driver. His name was Bill, great guy, and he said to me, he goes, you know, one of the kids who was in his 20s, because kids in their 20s are kids, at least to me, he says, I never saw the hood down, because when Bill lowered the hood on the car, that's what the kid said. He's like, wow, the hood comes down. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a problem. It's a problem because, and here's the reason why, that you got to like try and run your history a little bit, because if the car was put into a garage 30 years ago, something was wrong. If the hood was popped open, probably the owner looked and went, oh, I'll fix this later, and then didn't.
No, I think he was keeping animals out. And you know what? Kim just told us we got to get out because it's time.
Oh, yes.
We're at the end of the show.
Oh, my God.
And it's actually time to hear this music because Kim's got to come in and do Thunder Road, the best of Bruce Springsteen, and
cool.
She's giving us the eye. So we got to get the hell out of here.
Okay.
Chris, we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, man.
Sounds good.
Thanks,
man. I'll keep you posted.
All right. Bye-bye.
Be safe.
All right. On Motormouth Radio, we're out of here. See ya.